Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Alchemy of Life podcast, transforming wounds into wisdom with me, Steffi White. Alchemy is the art of transformation and inner liberation, and the alchemy of life is the understanding that when we choose to view every experience as inherently useful or something that we can learn and grow from, we transform our wounds into wisdom. Alchemy provides us the means to better understand ourselves and the universe that we live in. And to me, this is life's greatest invitation. This podcast is a call to you to reconnect you with your inner alchemist. So join me and my guests as we share the stories and the experiences that led us to this magic of transforming wounds into wisdom. So, hi everyone. I thought I should start my very first episode of my very first podcast by introducing myself. I'm Steffi. I'm a yoga teacher, alchemist, mentor, conscious leader, founder, and love activist. I lived in London for about 15 years and I was part of a really beautiful and powerful community of yogis and healers, kind of right around the time that Instagram yoga phenomena started to skyrocket. And off the back of teaching full-time in London and leading retreats worldwide, I started to share the practice and some insight via Instagram really organically. And it kind of was pretty shocking at how quickly I grew a big following. You know, it was a wild time and it opened up the door to meeting so many people and building a bigger community. I've been so lucky to meet people from all over the world and facilitate these very sacred and healing spaces of retreats. Being let into people's lives and their inner worlds is an absolute privilege and a great, great honor in my life. You know, it's in these moments of holding space and creating space for people to come home to themselves, to reconnect with their inner alchemist. It's most definitely my purpose here on earth. Something really magical happens when I'm in this space and I become the vessel and something else is moving through me. You know, call it the divine, call it wisdom, call it goddess energy, consciousness, honesty, love. It has been my most awakening experiences in many ways to have so many opportunities for this deep, deep, deep listening in this sacred space to literally get out of the way of myself and allow this wisdom or whatever you want to call it to move through me. It's hugely transformational. What I've really learned though is that sacred space is always here. And we can create these safe spaces for ourselves throughout the day amongst and within the mundane. And the opportunity for deep listening doesn't need to be on top of a mountain or at a yoga retreat or in the shala. The practice of deep listening is always available if we wish to tap into it, if we choose to make space for it. And for me, this is the beginning of true alchemy. So over the course of these podcasts, these episodes, I'm going to be inviting guests on who have inspired my life, who've supported me and held me and guided me and educated me, who've loved me and empowered me. And every guest to me embodies the alchemist. And I cannot wait to share their stories and their work, their medicine, their expertise with you all. But seeing as this is my first episode, I thought I could start with me and my perspective and insight on the alchemy of life and why I've chosen this theme and really what it means to me. I really want this to be a healing space for all of us. And for me, this comes from honesty and love. And so I am opening this space with the commitment of a very, very loving space. So in my personal experience of the alchemy of life, I believe it to be our greatest invitation. I had to go so far out of my alignment to make my way home, to reclaim my power and true inner knowing. This journey of self-reclamation, healing, and most of all, total surrender. Surrender to God, surrender to life, to universe, to divine, was when I truly set myself free and opened up to the alchemy of life. These are things that I've always intellectually understood and from a spiritual perspective, agreed with, felt. But I can honestly say it's only in the last year or so that I have truly understood in a deep, deep way this invitation, this alchemy of life, and embodied it. And I also want to note here, before I share any personal insight, experience, or perspective, that as a reminder, this is my personal experience, and by no way does it change your personal experience. I'm truly sharing this from a place of grace and love, and with my hand on my heart, sending nothing but love to your tender heart should you have experienced or be experiencing something similar and have dealt with or view it very differently. I support you and I hold you in your own very personal experience, in your own personal perspective. Many of you might know that I have recently moved to Mallorca, and this is like an absolute dream come true for me. We have a beautiful home here. I live between the mountains and the sea. And yeah, I just said that out loud. I live between the mountains and the sea, and life is truly beautiful. We have found ourselves in our absolute sweet spot. Magic is all around us, and every day I am met with something miraculous. And these miraculous experiences, I'm sure, have always been in my life and have always been in my days. That I do not argue with. But my point is, my eyes weren't open to see them, or my heart wasn't. I wasn't in that place. Now, my eyes and my heart are so wide open to the miracle of life that the miracles are pouring in. For example, we've been here like, I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks. And in this short space of time, we have been blessed with 2 amazing, incredible dolphin sightings. Now, I've seen dolphins before in my life. I've been very lucky, but they've always been on like organized trips with the agenda to see a dolphin. Whereas this was in nature, a total, natural, divine timing process. And oh my goodness, when it happens like that, it's just incredible, breathtaking. You feel like you've got the front seat at the magic of life, like the performance of life, like, oh my God. So the first time we were on this big morning hike, and we'd hiked for a few hours, and then we got to the beach and we were the only people on the beach. And I swear, we had been there probably 10 seconds. Will had just sat down. I hadn't even sat down on the beach yet. We were the only ones there. And then Will said, oh my God, look, a dolphin. And right, like so close to the shore, they were so in, like so close to us. And it was just incredible. It was like 8 in the morning. And for me, it's so much more than seeing dolphins. You know, it's a message, it's a sign. The dolphin energy is this symbol of joy. You know, dolphins, the reason they jump in and out of water is for nothing other than for joy and for pleasure, and because they love the feeling of it. They do it for play. There's no other reason. And so dolphins, they symbolize the power of play and joy. And how can we find joy and play even in the depths of our most challenging times. Just this symbol, this message is just so profound for me. And then a few weeks ago, we had family here and we were on a boat, like a little boat that you get in the harbour, like Will was just driving it and he took us out. And, you know, there was so many boats out in our area and no one else saw them. No one else saw the dolphins, this next set of dolphins. No one else saw them. We saw them. I was like, Will, look, dolphins. And then we kind of drove towards them, like slowly, slowly, really slowly. And they were coming towards us and they stayed with us. And, you know, those moments, they make me so emotional because it's just this remembrance and connection to the majesty of life and just how miraculous it all is and this natural divine timing. There's been so many stories, like this. It's not only a reminder that life itself is the miracle, but I am the miracle, that I'm even here, that it's all unfolding so perfectly, a divine orchestration in this perfect way. I honestly couldn't have believed it if you told me this time last year that I would be living in Mallorca and everything would be in flow and I would be so full of vitality, in balance and harmony and content and peaceful with how things were. If you had told me this time last year that I wouldn't have a child, I would have said, like, I'll die. I wouldn't have believed that I would be happy and peaceful in Mallorca, living our dreams here. I wouldn't have believed it. I couldn't have seen how. I was very much in a deep process, a spiritual assignment so big and vast and visceral and transformational. I went to the depths of despair, to the dark night of the soul, to a place I didn't recognize myself. I experienced total disempowerment, a complete and utter loss of trust in my body and trust in life. And while my spiritual practice was strong and there and the map of it all, quite literally the foundations, the lifeline, I still couldn't fully let go and trust in the process. I experienced a total death and a rebirth. For those of you that follow me on Instagram, you'll know that I was trying for a baby for about 3 years. And really on this episode, it's not about IVF or trying to have a baby. This is not, we're not like going into detail to explain the A to Z of that. It's of zero interest to me at this point. What I really find profound in the message of this episode and of this podcast of a whole is this transforming wounds into wisdom. And if I had heard someone else doing this podcast a year ago, I probably wouldn't have believed that I could ever get to that place. And so I just want to reach out tenderly to anyone who's in that place, is that you can and you will feel better, and you can, and I'm sure you will, get to a place of transforming your wounds into wisdom. So we went through the whole IVF process, and what I am going to mention here is a beautiful man, Jared Kite, who is a master five elements acupuncturist in London, and he's pretty well known. He's amazing. I saw him for about 2 years. I remember him saying something around the lines of that his patients who couldn't conceive often presented very similar to patients who had come in after experiencing a death of a loved one. That's how big of a thing this whole experience is for so many people. And I also want to say here is that, you know, just look at the way Western culture, society, we talk about it, me included, for many years. This is what I was all about, is this trying for a baby, trying to conceive. And it's like, break that down. You know, we can't try our way into pregnancy, like try, like, you know, if you just on the other side here, do that with your body. Like, what does it feel like to try? Like, to try, you know, like everything's got a little bit tense and like closed and tight. And we don't try and then poof, a baby comes. Like, we fall pregnant. And so I think there needs to be this real unraveling of this conditioned approach. You know, like, it's all in our control, and like, we'll try and then it will, and then poof, it will happen. We fall pregnant. I'm going to just talk about the points here to link it back to wounds into wisdom and the alchemy of life and this great transformation, rebirth, and kind of reclaiming my power. Like, that is really what it was all about for me. The biggest thing was like, oh my goodness, I can't even explain to you guys the loss of power, and then the deep healing when I returned to self, and this reclaiming was so profound. And so the points that I'm going to talk about are, we had done several rounds, failed attempts, and all sorts of different protocols and lots of different medications. And this was so out of alignment. You know, I became so disempowered, so desperate. And when I think back to where I was when we decided and why we felt we needed to go down the IVF route after a couple of years, 2.5 years or something like that, after everything and after all my experience and way of living, I was so desperate. I just also think, you know, that's where a lot of us find ourselves going into IVF, with this desperation and from a very loving place. It's like, it's not conducive to fertility. And I was so desperate, and I made this leap. And I'll talk about my homeopath later, but just to say here, because I've been reminded, you know, I remember going to see her after all these different rounds and after I had a miscarriage and just when I was at rock bottom, and I was so confused. I sat there in the chair and I was like, how did I get here? Like, the last year of doing all of this is like a complete blur, and I feel like I've been so out of alignment. Like, I've sacrificed myself. I've completely sacrificed myself and who I am, sacrificed myself. And I remember being in that chair then, like I'd been in a deep, deep sleep or something. And then I was in this chair in front of her, and I was just like, what the, like, it was like someone had just shown me on a like screen my life, and I didn't even, it was like, what? And I remember in that moment, I was so angry. And at first it presented as I was like angry at myself. I was like, how did I even get to that place? What? Like, I can't believe I did that, when it was personally for me just so out of alignment and doing it in that desperate place, you know? And she just said to me, she was like, completely was with me and agreed with me of everything I was saying, of course, yes. But then she just added, but it was so courageous, because it takes courage. It takes courage. I'm not saying this is something like I'm saying go do at all. Like, you'll hear from this podcast, this is not at all the essence of this podcast, but it was like that sacrifice and so going so far out of alignment. Like, fuck, yeah. And when I look back now, in such a different place, almost like part of me feels like a completely different person. It's like, holy shit, that is so courageous. After these many rounds, I think we did 3, and then we fell pregnant, and then we went to have the 7.5 week scan, and we were there and we found out that there was no baby and we'd miscarried. This sent me into like a really, 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 really sad and hopeless and difficult place. And, you know, when I think about it, it really is that, like, going through all of that, which I thought was leading to me, you know, absolute love to myself here, just total love, like no judgment or criticism, but, you know, this attachment, of course. I mean, I'm spending so much money, my health, I'm putting health on the line. I'm throwing away my kind of take on the world and my trust in life and, you know, divine timing and, yeah, just trusting in what happens. I'm throwing all of that away to try and make this happen. I'm taking all of these drugs. I'm completely on these crazy protocols because I have this attachment to the outcome because, well, at least I'm going to do all of this for a year and then I will have my baby and then all of it will make sense and all of it will matter and all of it will be like, oh my goodness, see, I have my baby, so perfect. So this is also this attachment to the outcome, which is totally understandable. And I'm only saying that to myself with love. Of course I did it for a baby, Christ. What else was I doing it for? Well, what I didn't realize was that I was on a spiritual assignment so much bigger than I could have ever fathomed. I thought I was doing all of this to have the baby, and we got pregnant, we miscarried. I started the process of coming home to myself and this inner alchemist and this deep trust in God. And I couldn't get out of bed for a very long time. My sister's a therapist. I remember phoning her and saying, I think I've got depression. I can't do anything. And I just couldn't do anything, even like, you know, washing my hair. I know many of you will know this feeling, like I couldn't wash my hair. If I managed to wash my hair in a day, like that would be so tiring that that would be the biggest thing and I'd have to get back into bed. And I asked her, like, do you think I'll ever be happy again? I couldn't back then fathom that all of this could happen and that I was opening up my life and myself to the possibility that I might never have children and still be happy. How could I be? You know, how could I be? To me, future was bleak and I was so sad. Will and my dear sister Lucy somehow managed to get me to Ibiza, where she lives. And I just would wake up in the middle of the night, like to the sound of my own wailing, and I'd go out onto this terrace. You know, we'd just been in lockdown basically for 2 years, right? And I hadn't been anywhere really. So I just remember how healing that was in itself, like just nature and space. And I love the Balearics, hence why I moved here. It's always been just such an energetic home for me. Like when I'm flying to the UK, I don't feel like this land is my home. Whenever I fly to the Balearics, whether it's Ibiza or Mallorca, especially Mallorca, obviously, it's like home. I don't know if it's a past life thing, I don't know why, but this land is where my body needs to be, where my soul needs to be. Yeah, so I came to Ibiza and I'd like go out onto her balcony and just like look out to the hills, look out to the stars in the middle of the night, and I would just cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. And she held this beautiful space for me. Like me and Will had been so deep in it for years, like just the two of us kind of struggling to survive. And, you know, when those of you that have ever been through a process of like this, of wanting to have a family with your partner, and it's so intimate, the two of you, and it relates to your sex life and it's your future. And it's also the breaking down of what you thought you wanted and what you thought your life would look like. And oh my God, if I take all that away, what is it? And you two are it. You are there, just the two of you. And so to have Lucy, this person where I could really just, I just sobbed to, I just cried to, I was so low. She just held me for days and days and days, made me miso ramen soup and booked me in with incredible healers on the island. I went to see an incredible, incredible healer who moved all of this stuff, and it was really painful. Anyway, I'm not going into this. This is for another episode. But Ibiza was very profound for me in terms of like just starting to consider that this trying, all these things, like, well, everything I'd done that wasn't the way for us. I had started to consider and understand the very beginning moments of this, that it was no longer, was it ever, but it certainly was no longer mine to figure out or to orchestrate, to problem solve. So I gave it up to God. I gave it up to God from that moment. I gave it up to God. Ishvara Pranidhana, you yogis out there, the niyamas, the yamas, Ishvara Pranidhana, like this devotion to God, the surrender to God, the surrender to life, the surrender to the universe. And I gave it up to God. It's not mine to figure out, to control. I have no right, you know? And when I did that in deep, deep practice, ceremony almost, a weight was lifted instantly. Even though like it was the very, very start of the beginning of this healing journey and this process, like even in the start of it, it was like, oh my God, this weight had been lifted. It's not mine to figure out, to control. Give it up to God. So that was a big, big lesson. You know, coming back to the alchemy of life, it's the greatest invitation. All of these challenges and moments, they hold within them so much potential for expansion. Another moment I wanted to share, which was so profound in this journey, was I started working with a homeopath I mentioned earlier. I mean, I have been on a holistic kind of Eastern medicine, alternative medicine journey for like 15 years. I have the most incredible people in my life. I've had my osteopath, Guy Gold, for about 6, 7, 8 years now. Completely transformational, craniosacral osteopathy. Jared Kite, as I mentioned, five elements acupuncturist. Emma Cannon, beautiful acupuncturist focused on women's health and fertility. I've worked with so many incredible people. Nicola Price, transformational breath. My friends are world-renowned healers. I am surrounded by magic. So I'm not new to these experiences. When I met my homeopath, I started working with her. It'd been only about 2 weeks. And I remember in the middle of the night, one night, I woke up and I was so sad. And I was so sad because I felt like the person that I knew had died, like this really joyous, kind of lighthearted. I've always got such depth to me and love to talk about, you know, the meaning of life and all of that. But that zest and that light, I thought she had died, you know? And I just woke up in the middle and I was so sad. And this realization that what happened and my experience, everything, all of these moments, the potential future had sadness, and I was sad that I was sad. And this message came through from the remedies. You know, homeopathy is energetic medicine, and they contain wisdom. They contain wisdom. They contain the remedy. And in the middle of the night, I woke up so sad, but this clear message. And it was like, embrace your sadness. Wrap your arms around your sadness. And I had like this visualization, like it was like psychedelic, my big arms. I just wrapped it around my sadness and I brought it in. I welcomed it in. I loved my sadness. I held it close like a little kind of baby that needed taken care of. And, you know, before, I feel like, yes, I would have, of course, embraced my sadness, sat with those feelings, but I also would have been like, you know, maybe there's something I can do. I can try and make myself feel better whilst also feeling it. You know, I don't run away from my feelings, but this was definitely different. This was a clear message. And I remember in that practice, in the middle of the night, in my bed, I wrapped my arms around my sadness and I embraced it. And it will always be part of me. And I will love it and I will love her when she is experiencing that or tapping back into that or something triggers that or memory or whatever. I welcome it and I am holding it so close, so tenderly, so gentle with gentle loving kindness. So no longer did I have to control the situation because I gave it up to God. What a relief. Oh my God. Oh, weight off my shoulders. And oh my goodness, I don't need to problem solve my sadness. Actually, I embrace it. I bring it in. I don't have to work against it. I work with it. I call it in. I love it. Protect it even. And what was miraculous was around that night, I fell pregnant naturally for the first time. And I didn't know. And on the 1st of January 2022, I found out I was pregnant naturally. Can you imagine? Like, we had completely stopped trying. I had all these things why I had to be on IVF. 2.5+ years we've been trying. Given all up. And had very recently had a miscarriage. Had had these two big, massive transformational moments where wounds were turned into wisdom in front of me, within me, this moment of giving up to God and then this embrace your sadness, wounds into wisdom, like so profound. And poof, first of the new year, 2022, which is the most beautiful year yet, I wake up to find out I'm pregnant. I mean, can you imagine our household? It was the biggest sign and the biggest message from God that trust the path. You're on the right path. And this, guys, to make it clear, is so much bigger than having a baby. This is not my point at all. It's not about that at all. It's like everything that you're searching for, like what it comes down to is standing in your power, being the inner alchemist, following your heart, you know, trusting in yourself and trusting in life. If you do that, you're open to miracles. You're not working against life. You're working with life. Yeah, it was just such a pure message for me. It was like, wow. And sadly, we miscarried, but really it was kind of like, wow, mind-blowing, pretty beautiful, beautiful thing. Really beautiful, 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 miraculous moment. Here we are now in May 2022, and I'm living in Mallorca. I can honestly say that I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for my life and for every single thing that has brought me here. And while there will always be some sadness related to the loss of that first pregnancy, I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't have this wisdom. I wouldn't be sitting in such deep trust of my life and of the path I'm on. It is so deeply healing. Life is revealing itself to me the whole time. Like, ah, oh, wow. There's nothing for me to do. Just be. And I'm out in Mallorca watering the plants in my garden every night. We have the most incredible garden. There's nature surrounding us everywhere. And I'm out talking to the plants and I'm learning about the plants. And I'm not even trying. I am living how I always dreamt of living. I always dreamt of living like this, but I was so in the doing. And now I'm finally here. And so I'll leave you with that, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. This is the first episode of my podcast, The Alchemy of Life, Transforming Wounds into Wisdom. Yes. I want to thank you all for listening. Please like, please write a review, give me 5 stars. I don't even know how to do that, but please, apparently it's really good. And share it on Instagram, tell everyone to listen. I've got such wonderful guests and episodes to come. I have so much to share. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here, for listening, for supporting. Have a beautiful day. Have a beautiful evening. Take care of yourselves. Lots of love.